Welcome to the official business and lifestyle legends podcast. Real life stories, exciting interviews, and a lot of knowledge to change your life. And here is your host of today's episode, Ben Schneider.
Today's episode is powered by JobMofi.com. JobMofi.com is a job search platform where you can hire a remote worker from the overseas, from all over the world, and you can sell your services on the marketplace. So if you need a remote worker, a designer, a virtual assistant, a web designer, developer, or anything else, go on JobMofi.com, sign up for free. Only verified users, no fakes, no scam. Check it out, 14 days free trial on JobMofi.com. Welcome guys to this Business and Lifestyle Legends podcast episode. Today I got a really awesome guest for you. So guys, please listen. He is a New York Times best-selling author, named as top influencer on the web by the Wall Street Journal. Forbes named him as one of the top 10 marketers. Entrepreneur magazine says he created one of the 100 most brilliant companies. He's also recognized as top 100 entrepreneur under the age of 30 by President Obama and top 100 entrepreneur under the age of 35 by the United Nations. Please, guys, welcome one of the most successful marketers in the world, Neil Patel. Hey, Neil, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Awesome, awesome. Glad to have you on the show. So let's jump in. How did you become that incredible successful? So what's the story behind this?
Yeah, I don't know if I would consider myself successful, but just persistence. You know, it's so funny. People always ask me, what was the biggest thing that's helped you get to where you are? What's that one moment that's changed everything for you? And there really wasn't one moment. There really wasn't one trick or one hack. It was just a lot of little stuff that added up. And what I've learned over the years is I'm not the smartest person. I make a lot of mistakes. And I think a lot of us make mistakes. But what's helped me get to where I am today is when I make a mistake, I try to learn from it. And I try to avoid making the same one over and over again. Eventually, if you do that, all that you'll be left with is the stuff that you should be doing.
Definitely. So I think mistakes are part of the road. So part of the, it's not the opposite of being successful. It's not doing mistakes or being unsuccessful. I think it's just part of the game, right?
Correct. Yes.
So, but let's stick to this for a minute. For sure, always the key is consistency and doing stuff you love. But you are really, you're really successful in that. So we can name it by that. So how did you became that big marketing person? Because I think you were not only doing SEO or placing some Facebook ads. That's not what brings you into the Wall Street Journal and Forbes and all that kind of stuff. So there must be something, some moves you have done, some right people you have met maybe, that leads you to all that. How was that in your career?
Yeah, so for me, a lot of it just came down to persistence. I started when I was 16. I'm 35 right now. So I'm almost on my 20th year. Give it another few months and I'll be on my 20th year. When you look at that, I've just been doing it long enough. And if you just keep pushing and not just being consistent, but persistent. Because when you're consistent, yeah, you can do something every single day, but you may not see results in a year or two. It may take 3, 4, 5 years. A lot of people give up. And the persistence is what really gets you through. I also took an omni-channel approach, and that's helped a lot. So I don't just rely on one thing that helps me get to where I want to go. For example, in marketing, there's SEO, there's paid ads, there's content marketing, there's social media marketing. You can do podcasting, you can go live, you can do email marketing, you can do push notifications. But I'm not a believer that one thing will get you there. I'm a believer that you leverage all the tools, all the channels. Some will work better than others. Some may not work, but you just got to keep pushing and try them all out and leverage all these resources that you have at your fingertips to help you get the results you're looking for.
So you would say it's not the best way to focus only on one thing. You would always say diversify?
In business, I believe you should focus. That mistake I made way too early on in my career. I used to try to do too many things instead of just one thing and do it really well. But throughout that period, what I ended up learning was I could go out there and I can use a lot of different channels to reach my goal. So let's say you focus just on one business. There's not one way to grow a business. You can grow it through SEO, content marketing. It doesn't even have to be marketing. It can be partnerships, right? I can do business development partnerships. There's multiple ways to go. I can go through outbound sales. And what I ended up learning is don't put all your eggs in one basket with how you generate revenue. See, to scale and create something big, you can't rely just on SEO or paid ads or outbound sales. You got to leverage all the channels because one channel will only get you so far. But focus on your idea. Focus on one business. It's more so, if you want to grow something big, you got to take an omni-channel approach, which is leveraging as many channels as possible to reach those revenue numbers or the sales numbers that you're trying to achieve.
Yeah, and I think in addition to that, it's about branding, to build a proper brand, because if there are problems with SEO or Facebook is closing your account or something like this and your business is only based on that channel, you would have a quite hard time to switch to another channel. But if you have built your brand on different channels, then it might be not that hard.
Yeah, and on top of that, they say in marketing, if you're trying to build a brand, they call it the rule of seven, in which when someone sees or interacts with your brand seven times, they're much more likely to evangelize you, remember you, promote you. And that's why you need to leverage multiple channels. Because someone may not see you seven times through SEO. They may not see you seven times through paid ads. They may not see you seven times through social media. They may not see you seven times through podcasting. But if you combine them all, you can hit that threshold, that number, where someone interacts with you more times, which is more likely to get you that brand awareness that you're trying to build. But when you want to buy shoes, if right now you, Ben, if you're trying to buy running shoes, where would you go? Right now are trying to buy running shoes, what shoes would you get?
I think some Nikes who are following me all over the internet.
Okay, so, but would you Google, hey, I want running shoes, or would you just go to Nike?
Yeah.
Which one would you do? Would you Google for running shoes, or would you just go to Nike.com?
I think I would Google it.
Okay. So you would Google it, but you know Nike as a brand. So when you Google it, you're much more likely to click on Nike because that brand is known to you. Many people will just go directly to Nike. So I, for example, if I'm looking for shoes, athletic shoes, I just go to Nike because it's easier. And then I may do a search on the Nike website for a specific type of shoe that I may be looking for. Running, football, whatever it may be. So the point I'm trying to make is that brand, it just generates a lot of sales. When you're looking for a car, you got a poster, I think, of a McLaren. I could be wrong, but I think it's a green McLaren behind you. All right?
Yeah, it is.
And you like those McLarens, right? That may be a car that you have or you want to have. Are you going to end up, if you're ready to make the purchase, you're not Googling which sports car should I buy. You're just like, I like McLarens. I want a McLaren. I want a Ferrari. That's the power of a brand. And if you want to build that brand, you got to do things consistently. You got to be persistent and do it for a long time. And you got to leverage all the channels out there so people continually see you, hear you, talk about you.
Yeah, definitely. So, and that's also the magic about remarketing, right? So if you're looking for, let's stick to the running shoes of Nike, if you're looking for the Nike shoes, and then you go on Facebook, you see the Nike shoes again, and then you go to any website, you see the Google AdSense where the Nike shoes are, and you go to YouTube, and there are the Nike shoes as well. So then you make more touch points.
Exactly.
So you're very strong and very big into SEO marketing. Do you think in 2021, and we will have a deeper dive in a few seconds on that, but do you think in 2021 it's possible to do SEO still and grow? Because a lot of people out there are asking themselves, I just do paid ads because SEO, it's that hard, and I don't have any chance to get on the short-term keywords, any good rankings, because only the top three, top five will be clicked. So what would you recommend to these guys? Just focusing on long-tail keywords, or not doing SEO because it's too expensive?
First off, paid ads is always going to be more expensive than SEO in the long run. I'm not saying you shouldn't do paid ads. If it's profitable, spend as much as you can. Secondly, most people don't realize this, but as you grow your traffic and you're getting SEO traffic, 90%+ of your traffic will be from long tail terms. Not 80%, not 70%, over 90% will be from long tail terms. So it's okay if you don't rank for those short head terms. The next thing that you need to know is, yes, it takes a long time. It's harder now than it was 4 or 5 years ago because it's more competitive. But it doesn't mean that you can't do well. You can still do really well. Instead of getting results in 3-4 months, it may take you 6 months. It may take you a year, but it's still an amazing, highly profitable channel.
So what do you think about all the voice search? Because the voice search is quite a game changer on that thinking behavior I mentioned a few seconds ago. Because nobody will look for a short tail keyword when they do a voice search. What do you think about that?
Yeah. So time will tell. But yes, and no one really does voice searches for short tail terms. Now, in the United States, according to ComScore, 50% of the searches plus are now voice search. And according to OCNC, voice search is going to become a multi-billion dollar commerce industry per year. I'm talking about 20, 30, 40 plus billion dollars in commerce just through voice search, and that number is growing at a very rapid pace. So when you look at that, voice search is extremely popular, but I wouldn't worry if people are searching head terms, tail terms, or long tail terms, or what you're going to get traffic from. If you're creating content, you're educating, no matter how the market moves, whether it's voice, whether it's mobile searches, whether it's desktop searches, whether it's long tail, whether it's head terms, you'll get the traffic either way because you're creating valuable content. The platforms will figure out how to get you that traffic, right? And you may have to adapt a little here and there, but the key is the content. They all are craving for more and more content. So whoever creates the content is going to do the best in the long run.
Okay, that's an interesting fact. Let's stick to this. Google provides always updates, and then it's mentioned it's mobile only or mobile first, and voice search is important. And a few years ago, it was important to have 5,000 words in an article, and 10 years ago, it was very necessary that you have a lot of keywords in your text. So that all changes. Right now, I also heard that it's all about the content and about the time, how long the people stay on the website. What is your opinion? What is a perfect website to rank it on Google? Does it need to have tons of content? Does it need to have a video or a lot of pictures? Or what could be the key in 2021 to rank a site well?
Google is releasing an algorithm update called Page Experience, where they focus on user experience. Most people, when they create content, say, oh, it needs to be 2,000 words. It needs to have X amount of images. It needs to have X amount of videos. And what the Page Experience update is all about is a user experience. So when you think about content, what do you think the user wants to see? And it's going to vary depending on the keyword. For example, if I have an article on how to tie a tie, would you want to read a 2,000-word article on how to tie a tie, or would you rather see an animated image, a GIF, showing you how to tie a tie, or a video showing you how to tie a tie? Would you prefer the image and video or the 2,000 words telling you how to tie a tie? Which one would you prefer?
Definitely the video, because the 2,000-words article maybe will not show me.
And then on the flip side, if there's an article on how to write a blog article or how to install a toilet, in that case, you may want to see the text. If I have an article that breaks down how to speed up your website, you will need the text, because you're going to have to break down the code and what changes to make and step-by-step instructions and maybe have some images. Video could be cool too, and you could add video if you want, but with the video, when someone's going through the motions and the tactics, they may have to click the pause button a lot. So it could just be easier to show step one, step two, step three, step four, right? If you had an article on how to speed up your WordPress website, it may just be easier to have 2,000 words with images and step-by-step instructions. So it's going to vary per what is going to be the most beneficial for the user. Before, and 5 years ago, everyone would be like, you just need to write 2,000-word articles. And that's great, but 2,000-word articles isn't the key to providing the best user experience. Sometimes you may need 10,000-word articles, but sometimes you only may need 200 words and an image. Sometimes you only may need 5 words and an image or a video. So you have to think about the user experience. One thing that is consistent, though, when you're talking about what is the best form of content, one of the best pieces of content is up-to-date content. What I mean by that is when someone searches for how to speed up your WordPress website, if it's a 10-year-old article that hasn't been updated, well, WordPress has changed over the 10 years. So it doesn't matter if that was 5,000 words, 2,000 words, had videos, had images. It's just outdated. So one thing that's consistent is whether it's an article with a lot of text or a little text or tons of images or little images or video or no video, Google wants to rank updated, fresh content that's the most relevant. So if you update your content, keep it relevant to the users, you're going to do better. Now, some articles you may not need to update much. For example, how to tie a tie is pretty consistent. But there nowadays, there is multiple forms of ties. There's skinny ties. There's really fat ties. There's medium width ties. There's Windsor knots. So you may have your article on how to tie a tie, but then you may update it and say, you know what, even though there hasn't been much such change in how to tie a tie, I'm going to talk about a Windsor knot. I'm going to talk about, you know, a double knot, a simple knot. I don't know. You know, you get what I mean, right? So you can always keep it up to date somehow.
Would you recommend to do that on that blog article? Because usually you may think I write another blog article about a Windsor tie and all that kind of stuff. Would you put this all in one article?
No, typically if I'm going to do like the Windsor knot and all that, I would break it up into separate articles, but then I would link to it. So that main article on how to tie a tie, I can put in there, if you want a Windsor knot, go here. If you want this kind of knot, go here. If you want a simple one, you can see the instructions above. So I may just have a simple instruction above and say, here's a few other guides on different tie styles, Windsor, and I may show some pictures and be like, click here to view the full article.
Okay, makes sense. So you mentioned it's not about Google, it's about the user experience, it's about the value you provide. So when someone is creating, let's name it a post, on their website, should they stop thinking about Google, or should they start focusing more on the value and less doing stuff for Google? But in addition, for sure, maybe some stuff like keywords in the title and having a meta description and putting alt tags to the pictures and having the H1, H2, H3 headlines. So is it a combination of that stuff?
So let's go back a little bit. I'm going to take a guess. The search engine you use on a regular basis is Google, correct?
Yeah.
Is that the search engine you use? Okay. So if you were to Google for a lot of terms, let's say you did 100 searches in 30 days because Google's your main search engine. And if all the results that you clicked on were crap and you weren't happy, would you be happy with Google or would you be upset?
I would be sad, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and then you may end up using Bing or another search engine that has better results, right? So even though H1s are important, alt tags important, text, quality, keywords, all that stuff is important, but what's more important is the user experience, because if they show you crap results, you yourself wouldn't keep going back to Google. If you stop using Google, they can't make money from you on ads in the future. Right? Because even if you search 100 times, maybe one time out of 100, you'll click on ads, which will make them money. So for them, they need you to be happy with the results. So their whole thing is, when you do a search, backlinks are a factor in rankings, how many links a web page has. Do you really look at a result being like, oh, this result has 10 times more backlinks? It should be the number one result. As a user, you don't care which result has more backlinks or which ones have more keyword density or which ones have more H1. You just care which article is better, or which page is better, or which checkout page or product page is better. Whatever you're searching for, whatever is the best page for you, that's what you want to see. So the first thing companies should do is not focus on Google. They should focus on the user experience and make it the best page for the user. Then after you make it the best page for the user, of course, you should still think about SEO, from your URL to having the keywords to using H1s to alt tags. All those things are important, but the user should be the core focus, not the second focus. So user first, Google second.
Yeah, 100% on the same page with you, but the problem is to get into the view of the user. And if I focus only on the user, on the behavior and what's good for the user, providing value, all that stuff, that definitely makes sense, but that will not push me on in the top 10 results. So maybe there are some other factors like backlinks, keyword density, or anything like that. Because as you mentioned, for me as a user, that's not important how many backlinks this website has. But maybe for Google, it's important to rank my website, because Google realizes, hey, this article has 50 backlinks from other good pages with which are also good in their rankings. So we might give their post a try. And then they push you in front of the user's face. And then the user can see if the content is good or not. But if you're not getting there, you have awesome content, but nobody will see it, or nobody will find it through Google.
No, you're right. You know, creating what's best for the user doesn't guarantee you're going to be on page one. But in the long haul, your ranking should increase if you keep doing what's best for the user. You still may not be on page one. You still may not be at the top, even if you're on page one. So you're going to have to look at the other factors like links, because if a lot of people link to you, chances are they like your page. If you have good H1s and keywords and you keep updating your context and good URLs, your page loads fast, good experience, low bounce rate, all these things play into account. And you should optimize for them, but optimize first for the user, then optimize secondly for Google.
Okay. What do you think about buying backlinks? For example, there are services out there, there are agencies who sell backlinks, there are people on Fiverr, for example, who provide backlinks.
It's too risky. Now, some agencies may build you backlinks manually by doing outreach. For example, on your website, Ben, if you're linking to article on SEO and it's a broken link, an agency could email you and say, hey, well, I noticed you have this article, it has a broken link. You can replace it with this one if you want. You can have people help you build backlinks, but you should never exchange money for a link. You should never tell someone, hey, you are New York Times, I'll give you $1,000 for a link. Don't ever do that. You should try to build amazing content and naturally you'll get links. But if you want, you can do manual outreach or pay someone to do manual outreach where they're emailing a lot of people on your behalf to try to get you links. And another way to build links is through promotions. So if I boost posts on Facebook and push it on social media like Twitter and all these places, more people are going to see my content, which is going to cause a portion of those people to link to me. All those things help with links as well, but never buy links. It's frowned upon. It's short-sighted. All it's going to do is get you banned in the long run. I think it's just risky and a waste of money and time.
Okay, it's quite funny because I'm asking that stuff because that separates us real entrepreneurs from marketers or from get-rich-quick guys, because what you mentioned the last 24 minutes is not, hey, you just need to do this, this is the key, and then you go wild. And that's exactly how entrepreneurship is. It's a long run, it's about consistency, it's about grinding, it's about providing value, but not one time, every single day, for years, as you mentioned. That's exactly how it works. So how many years did it take for you that that you realize, hey, I'm growing good right now. This makes sense to keep it up.
It took a long time. I've been an entrepreneur for 20 years, but it took many, many years, and most of my early businesses didn't do well. So you just got to keep pushing and pushing and pushing, and you don't give up, assuming you really believe in it. But you hit the nail on the head. Anything that's short-sighted, easy come, easy go. When I was a little kid and I got into SEO, I tried to do the quick shortcuts to try to rank high, and it wouldn't last. And then over time, I learned that if you do what's best for the user, not only do you get the rankings, it takes longer, but the rankings maintain. So put the user first. Don't be short-sighted. And that's how you build a real business. You know, you can get links by building amazing product, amazing service. You know, you don't have to buy links. The problem is people don't want to take the time to build a good product, build a good service, write the great content. But it's worth it in the long haul.
Yeah, definitely. That's why that video courses and a lot of get rich quick guides are working that good, because people are looking always for the shortcuts, for just spending little money on it, little time, and grow big rapidly. And that's just an illusion. Maybe that happens one out of a million times, but that's an illusion. Also, if you have, for example, you will know about that, viral videos. This will give you fame for around a week, and this will for sure bring you a few subscribers, but not that much as you have expected before. Have you experienced the same?
I have. What happens with the viral videos is you create a lot of videos. One may go viral, most won't. And what happens is you get a ton of views, and then it goes back down to where it was before. Maybe, actually, that's wrong. Not back down to where it was before, but it goes back down, and it gets a little bit better than where it was before. So think of it as a ladder. It's like you go up and then back down and up and back down, but over time, you're still higher than where you started. And I don't really try to focus on viral videos because it's not as predictable. I focus on SEO more than viral videos and just education, because eventually you can get that consistent traffic. It's easier, more predictable.
Yeah, definitely. What do you think about the paid marketing channels? So is there a channel? So for sure, it depends always on the product and in which niche you are. But is there a channel you would say, this one might be outdated, or this one might be an awesome chance for you right now to dive in?
So I'll do a few things. If you're trying to generate business leads, LinkedIn's one of my favorite ones. It's expensive per lead, but the quality is a lot higher. If you're in consumer and you can create a video, I found that YouTube does extremely well, and not enough people are wanting to leverage it because they're too lazy to create the videos. If you have e-commerce products, I found that Instagram does really well, but in a really unique way, in which you can do stories, and you can actually show your product in a story in multiple sides, your landing page. And then if they're interested in buying, they can swipe up and to go to the page and complete the checkout. And that's worked out really well. Same with Snapchat. You can do that on Snapchat. So imagine an ad, take your landing page. You don't want to drive people to the landing page right away so they can learn more. You want to take the copy in the landing page, put it in the story on Snapchat, let them go through it, and then if they like it, then they can go to the page and then buy. But those are some social platforms that we like. I also like Taboola and Outbrain. They're really good for media buys. People take them for granted, but they just do so well. It's cheap clicks. Conversion rate's not high, but the click cost is really cheap.
Okay. What do you think about Facebook and Snapchat? Not Snapchat. Facebook and TikTok?
I think TikTok is booming. We found it hard to generate a lot of sales from TikTok unless it's e-commerce or app installs. As for Facebook, it's still super effective. It's expensive, but super effective still.
Okay, yeah. What you mentioned before, LinkedIn is super expensive, but the quality is better. I experienced that too in Germany. But it's really expensive. So if you're playing around €2 for a click, and on Facebook traffic, for example, you get it for 20 cents, that's a huge difference. So it depends on the product if this is working out for you or not.
Yeah, but you may get 10 clicks from Facebook and one conversion. You may get 2 clicks from LinkedIn and 50% conversions, right? So the math can end up working out potentially. It depends on the industry, but you got to test. And I think that's a big thing that people aren't willing to do. If you test, you can do well, but most people aren't willing to continually put in the time and effort and test.
Yeah, if this is the case, for sure, then it's just the same math. You're running a website and you have on the website that analytics window. So like, would you like to analyze your website, type it here. This is something which I think works out pretty well. Have you tried other things before that might have been not worked out that good? So
I tried lead forms. I tried all the basic stuff. I tried long sales pages. You just got to test and tweak and see what works with your audience. But yes, I've tried a lot of stuff. Some worked well, some didn't. I think everything's about experimentation, testing, and adapting.
Okay. And was there something in your career that really went in the wrong direction? So maybe you were starting a project and you were on fire and you put money on it and you thought you will crush it with that, but then nobody cared about, or there were, I don't know, other struggles in your entrepreneurial career?
I've had too many to name. I've had more struggles than good days. But the way I look at it is we all have struggles. There's always going to be a lot of bad days, but that's okay. That's what makes entrepreneurship hard. And it also makes it really rewarding at the very end. What I always tell people and what I recommend to them is why not just go out there and just keep pushing? You're going to have struggles, but learn from them and adapt and then just keep pushing forward.
Okay, is there one of your big fails in your life you could share with us?
Sure, I created a cloud hosting
company. Because I like to share some stuff also, because people out there also only see that Instagram worlds and everything is good and everything is only skyrocketing, and it's not. So that's why I'm asking about such fails also.
Yeah, so... one of my early failures that I took a long time to learn from was I created a cloud computing company where it did hosting years and years ago. This is like when Amazon Web Services was starting, and it didn't do well. And the idea was good. You can tell Amazon's a big company, AWS. But the reason this didn't do well is I picked people who didn't know what they're doing. They lacked the experience and they needed too much handholding. And I learned from this experience, you know, you got to pick the right partners. You got to know people who know what they're doing. And another thing that I learned from this whole experience, because I was doing many businesses at the same time, I need a focus. I shouldn't get into crap that I don't understand, where I don't have a competitive edge. I should focus on one thing. And that business, by the way, lost me over $1 million.
That's a huge amount of money. But you mentioned something really interesting also. And that's important, guys. Listen to it between the lines. You mentioned you did a business. You didn't know what you're doing. with it. And that's quite important because a lot of people are doing stuff just because they see it on other people being successful or investing in stock market or cryptocurrencies or anything like that, but they just don't know what they are doing. That's and right. Then they lose money, and yeah, for a reason. So what did you recommend to discuss?
Look, and when you get into stuff that you don't know, you can make a lot of money and get lucky. Like everyone saw the GameStop stock. It went up like crazy for a week or two or a month or whatever it is, and last few days it's been going down. You can make a lot of money or you can lose a lot of money. You can get lucky, but in the long run, you're just going to be better off doing the stuff you understand and know.
Yeah, and that's definitely how I get to know you right now in the last 35 minutes. You are a long-term guy, and these gambling stuff like cryptocurrencies, if you don't know what you're doing, it's, as you mentioned, just luck if you win. It's not a business. It's not about skill or anything like that. It's just luck. So in my view also, you should always try to build something you're really good in it, you really love to do, because you have to love it, because there will be so much struggles and so much pains and all that kind of stuff that you have to get up every day. You have to be motivated. You need to grind, and this for years, maybe until you get successful or until you get known. So like Neil, he is New York best-selling author and mentioned in all big magazines out there. So this is not an overnight success. What do you think about that, Neil? There is, in my point of view, there is no overnight success. It's only people did not see the last 15 years you were grinding while other people were making party or anything like that. That's just the part that nobody sees. And then you pop up on their screen, and then they think you had an overnight success. But I do not know any single entrepreneur who had an overnight success.
I agree with you. I haven't seen anyone who's had an overnight success either. So I you're spot on. There's, you know, for every overnight success, there's another 10 years that you didn't see of all the hard work that they put in.
Yeah, definitely. So awesome. Thanks, Neil, for sharing all that valuable information with us today and all that insights you gave us. If you guys want to learn more about Neil Patel, I think most of the guys will will know you, but you just have to Google the Neil Patel or go on neilpatel.com or listen to his podcast, The Marketing School, Digital Marketing and Online Marketing Tips, or for sure, be one of Neil's 850,000 subscribers on YouTube and watch his incredible content. You will learn a lot from this guy for free. So definitely can only recommend this. So Neil, is there anything you would like to mention by the end of this episode to the audience out there?
Just keep, you know, going, be consistent and be persistent. Those two things will really help you get to where you want.
Awesome. 100% agree. Thanks, guys, for listening. Thanks, Neil, for being part of the show. Very proud to have you here today. It's really a pleasure. Thanks, guys, for listening, and hopefully you liked it. If you liked it, give us a rating and be with us in the next episode. Bye-bye.